and sniffed the contents. Bottled in bond. He started to take a sip, but I caught his arm. Hold up. I took that off Daniel O'Neill, and it hasn't been tested. Before I could react further, he changed hands and took a strong two-bubble pull. Lucian? Damn, that's good. He licked his lips. Straight rye whiskey, a four-year-old, if I'm not mistaken. A little metallic, but that could just be from being in the flask too long. You're not concerned that I might be poisoned? Troop, I've been poisoning myself with this stuff for nigh on 70 years, and I'm sure in the end it'll get me, but it's been an elongated and cheerful terminus. Brand? E.H. Taylor. He took another nip, just to be sure. 100 proof, I should think. Nothing wrong with it? Not that I can tell, but I better have another just to be on the safe side. Let's save some for the Department of Criminal Investigation, shall we? I turned to talk to Double Tough and noticed a group of men standing at the top of the stairs. 2 highway patrolmen named Bob DeLude and Robert Hall, a.k.a. the Bobs, and a suited man who looked like a bad smell. Can I help you?
Are you Sheriff Walter Longmire?
Maybe. I'm Deputy United States Attorney Skip Trost. I noticed he left off the acting portion of his title. Good to meet you. Are we interrupting anything? Oh, no, just the circling of the wagons here at the end of the day. He stepped forward. I was wondering if I could have a private word with you, Sheriff? He didn't wait for an answer, but turned and dismissed the 2 patrolmen. Thank you, gentlemen. I believe I'm Sheriff Longmire's responsibility now. Robert rolled his eyes, and Bob shook his head as they turned, noticeably glad to be rid of him, and trooped down the stairs and out the door. I knew the Bobs pretty well from dealing with them over the years. I would have to talk to them later to get the dope on the ADA. I gestured toward the hall in my office, the day obviously not over. You know why I'm here. Easing myself back in my chair, I took off my hat and set it on my desk, thinking the thing spent more time there than on my head. I believe so. This is a serious crime against the American people. I tapped the brim of my hat and watched it spin on the overturned crown. The American people, huh? He folded his overcoat in his lap and regarded me with a set of very pale blue eyes, the kind that sled dogs have, the kinds of dogs that, if not fed enough, eat each other. We have an opportunity here to make a statement to these private collectors that the relics and fossils on public lands are not for private sale. I wasn't aware that the High Plains Dinosaur Museum was going to sell Jan. He watched me, probably trying to get a read on my position in all of this, and that gave me the opportunity to study him in turn. He was fit, and I was guessing he was no stranger to the gymnasiums in Cheyenne. The point is, Mr. Trost, that we don't know if the fossil is on public land, and besides, if they maintain ownership, then they can do whatever they like with Jan. It's a free market, as near as I can tell. The shoe stopped bobbing, and he grinned. They told me you were sharp. Who did? He dismissed my question with a wave of his hand. Everybody at 24th and Capitol. So I guess you're looking to establish a partnership with the Northern Cheyenne, the Cheyenne Conservancy, and the Lone Elk family. His family is active? I gave him my warning voice. Very. For the first time, he broke eye contact with me and stared at his coat. If you don't mind my asking, why is it that the federal government suddenly has a deep-seated yearning to go after the High Plains Dinosaur Museum? They are stealing government property. I expulsed a breath of air that substituted for a laugh. Private collectors and paleontologists have been doing it all over the American West for more than a century. All the more reason it should be stopped. What's the hurry? I mean, the thing isn't even out of the ground. The head is. I stared at him. What? He grinned some more. You didn't know that? No, I'm not really privy to everything the museum does, nor should I be. I just received a text, He pulled out his cell phone and showed it to me. Maybe he thought I'd never seen one. That the head is on the premises of the HPDM and has been crated for shipping.
To where?
At this time, parts unknown. He studied me. So your buddy Dave Bauman doesn't tell you everything. I wondered what Dave was up to, thought about it, and then leaned back in my chair. I wouldn't call him my buddy, but he's from my county, and that does make him mine to defend.
Defend.
A long time ago, the previous sheriff handed his star over to me. I thumbed my badge for him to take notice. Maybe he'd never seen one before. And along with this 3-inch piece of metal came the responsibility of looking out for my people. All 2,483 of them. He cocked his head and barked a short laugh.
So it's going to be the United States of America versus Absaroka County?
I sighed deeply and brushed the cuff of my shirt over my badge, wiping off my fingerprints.
Not necessarily. You treat the people of this county with the respect they deserve, and I'm yours to command, acting deputy attorney.
He let that one settle in for a bit and then stood.
I'm afraid you are mine to command, no matter what or how I do it, Sheriff.
He looked down at me, enjoying the advantage. I think we should be going to the High Plains Dinosaur Museum, but first off, I'm going to need personal protection. This time, I went ahead and laughed. From what? He made the next statement as if it were manifest obvious. Whoever of the 2,483 citizens of the county must have murdered Danny Lone Elk. I leaned back in my chair and tried not to display the expression I reserved for people who attempted to tell me how to do my job. At this time, I have no credible information leading me to believe that Danny's death is anything more than accidental. He carefully unfolded his trench coat. You're living in a dream world. That collection of bones that was found on his land is worth way more than the $8 million paid for similar finds, and that kind of money tends to get people thinking bad thoughts, even your people. He continued to study me and then changed tack. You have a very high profile here in the state. I wasn't aware I had a profile, high or low. Well, I'm pleased to tell you that you do, and that kind of thing can be instrumental in getting things like this done.
He waited a moment and then leaned on my desk.
And since I've dismissed my cadre of highway patrolmen, I still need a detachment for use as bodyguards. I picked up my hat, carefully straightened it on my head, and got up. Looking down at him, I enjoyed the advantage and smiled. I've got just the person.
And what if I don't want to follow fucking Skip around?
I thought about having Double Tough keep an eye on him.
That's not funny.
She leaned against the counter of the gift shop inside the High Plains Dinosaur Museum.
How about if I just act like I'm guarding the acting deputy attorney?
Fine by me. I watched McGroder and his staff examine and document all the parts of Jen's massive head, roughly the size of a sofa, on an assortment of clipboards and forms under the close observation of Trost. Her namesake stood by with her ever-present video camera, recording the FBI men and the acting deputy attorney. Quis custodiat ipsos custodes.
Excuse me?
I gestured toward Jen and the camera. Who washes the watchman? From the Roman poet Juvenal, usually associated with the philosophies of Plato and political corruption. I gestured toward Trost. He seemed to think there might be an attempt of violence upon his person. Vic folded her arms, the portrait of disgruntled.
Well, he's right about that.
I figured you'd be the best at letting me know what his intentions are. She watched the ministrations of the Department of Justice.
You don't think they're going to try and pick that thing up, do you?
She looked at the shelves of plastic T-Rexes and then back to me.
So, as I remember, according to Mrs. Tony, my sixth-grade science teacher, these things had a brain the size of a walnut.
Jennifer's voice carried over to us, confirming she could hear what we were saying.
Actually, they were the smartest of all the dinosaurs, with the mature animals having a brain about the size of a coffee can, maybe as smart as modern-day alligators. She pointed at the VistaVision-like murals on the walls that pictured embattled dinosaurs and exploding volcanoes. But they had surprisingly powerful sensory apparatus, with a binocular range of 55 degrees, better than Hawk's, and a visual acuity 10 times greater than an eagle's. Vic thought about it.
So, she'd see you a long time before you'd see her?
She'd see you almost 4 miles away, but she'd smell you long before you saw her or she saw you. Tyrannosaurs had huge olfactory membranes and probably the greatest sense of smell of all the dinosaurs. She reached over and picked up one of the toy T-Rexes and held it out to my undersheriff. There's a lot of argument over whether Jen was a scavenger or a hunter, but there's evidence that they might have been cannibalistic. Vic took the plastic dinosaur and flicked a fingernail along the serrated teeth within the gaping jaw.
What do you think?
Jen herself has multiple tooth marks on her remains, evidence that some other tyrannosaurs were feeding on her alive or dead. For all we know, they may have even been family members. The young woman's face was remarkably expressionless. I think they ate whatever they wanted, alive or dead. She went back to filming the FBI as Vic turned to glance at me.
What?
I'm just thinking of that turtle that pissed on you yesterday morning. Her eyes followed after Jennifer. She didn't seem very forgiving.
I don't think it was a very forgiving world 67 million years ago.
Vic tossed the toy back into the bin.
Judging by what's been going on around here lately, it hasn't gotten that much better.
She studied me for a few moments, and I knew what she was going to ask.
So, what kind of visions were you having yesterday morning?
I didn't say anything.
I've seen you freeze up like that before. So what did you see?
I shushed her as Bauman approached. He looked a little worse for wear, having jousted with the state, the FBI, and the Northern Cheyenne within 48 hours. He adjusted his glasses and sighed.
I can't believe they're doing this.
I can't believe you already had the head excavated and didn't tell me about it.
He emitted a glottal stop and then forced the words from his mouth.
I didn't think it was that important.
Where were you shipping it, Dave?
What are you implying?
I'm implying that Jen's head is in a shipping crate with your return address on it, but no outgoing address. And I'm interested in where she was headed, no pun intended.
He crossed his arms, evidently trying to discern if I was on his side or theirs.
You wouldn't believe me if I told you.
Try me.
NASA.
Wanting to make sure I wasn't missing a High Plains acronym, I asked,
The National Aeronautics and Space Administration?
Vic looked at him.
What the hell? You were going to put Jen in orbit or something?
We wanted to do a CAT scan of the skull. And NASA is the only place with a machine big enough for the job. They use it to look for flaws in space shuttle engines and the like.
I gestured toward the FBI men. Would I be correct in the assumption that you were trying to get it out of here before these guys showed up?
Bauman looked a little uncomfortable.
Of course not.
In hopes that dealing with a more scientifically oriented branch of the federal government might be better than dealing with the FBI? Or the U.S. Attorney's Office?
His eyes widened as I spoke, but his response was definitive.
No.
I put my arm over his shoulder and steered him further into the gift shop, where images of a toothsome generic T-Rex adorned shirts, lunch boxes, posters, miniature pith helmets, and other assorted tchotchkes. Dave, I just got through having an abbreviated pissing contest with Mr. Trost, where I made it clear to him that I was on the side of the people of my county. I released my hold on him, and he turned toward me, primed to interrupt. I held a finger up to his face. And that is going to prove difficult if the people I'm attempting to protect, and that includes you, are not forthcoming with all the information they have.
I'm not doing anything illegal.
Maybe not. But it looks illegal, and you better start thinking about that, because this situation is going to end up in federal court, and appearances, though deceiving, can lose you a case and a dinosaur.
I held out a hand. You mind if I have a look at the warrant? He pulled it from the back pocket of his khakis and handed it to me. I read, "As a violation of the Antiquities Act of 1906, all the fossil remains of one Tyrannosaurus rex dinosaur skeleton, hereafter referred to as Gen, and other fossil specimens taken from the excavation site on the property of one Danny Lone Elk, including all papers, diaries, notes, photographs, and supporting materials relating to the excavation of said Gen, are to be confiscated from the premises." I looked up at him. "Basically, it says that you've stolen U.S. government property, and somehow at the same time Northern Cheyenne tribal property." I handed it back to him. "Dave, as much as I ever hate to say this, I think you're going to need a lawyer." I glanced back at the crate and could see Vic and Jennifer engaged in a heated conversation.
"Because I fucking said turn it off, that's why."
I stepped next to my undersheriff, and Jennifer turned the camera to film us. "Miss, you mind turning that thing off for a minute?" She ignored me and continued filming.
"According to the law in 38 states, including Wyoming, I am allowed to film law enforcement personnel as long as I am not interfering with your duties."
"Yep, but..." She refocused the lens to get a close-up of me, and I turned and looked at the museum director. "Dave?"
He stepped toward her. "Jennifer, really, they're on our side." "We don't know who's on what side, Dave. I just want to make sure we have plenty of evidence so that we cover our collective ass here."
He leaned into her and spoke in a low voice.
"There's no need. The hell there's not. You saw what happened to the negotiations with Danny Lone Elk. If I hadn't videoed it..."
I turned and looked at her. "You have film of the negotiations with Danny?"
"I do."
I glanced at Bauman, who seemed as surprised as I did, and then back at her. "Film of him accepting the $37,000 for the fossil remains?"
"It's in the video files on my computer, which, by the way, I'm not giving to you."
I turned back to Dave. "How did you pay Danny?"
"In cash. It was all he would take."
"I don't suppose you got a receipt."
"Well, he was going to write me one, but you know how Danny was. He just hadn't gotten around to it."
I reached out and tapped the camera in Jennifer's hands. "You realize that recording, then, might be the only evidence you have of having paid Danny."
He turned to her. "We need that footage."
She shrugged and continued filming.
"I can get it."
I reached out for the camera again, but she stepped back and kept it on us. "Look, Jennifer, I'm trying to help here, but I'm not going to do it on the Sid Caesar show of shows, okay?"
"The what?"
I turned back and looked at Dave, and he stepped between us.
"Jen."
As he began speaking to her in hushed tones, McGroder came over with his clipboard, stuffed it under one arm, and gestured toward the scientists.
"Trouble with little Miss Zapruder? We have a lot of interaction with people carrying phones and stuff. You know, you can ask them to step back to a reasonable distance for their own protection, right?"
"And how far away is that?"
"Officer's discretion. I'm thinking a quarter mile, county line."
"Did you guys get what you needed?"
"We have, but now we need a safe place to store the fossils, including the 1,000-pound head."
He looked at me.
"A secure place." On an epic-like scale, what he was proposing dawned on me like the beginning of time.
"You're kidding."
"No, I'm not."
He tapped the clipboard with the end of his pen.
"I don't suppose you've got a loading dock at the jail?"
"No."
I thought about how I wanted to play this, thinking that keeping Jen's head close at hand might be one of the best ways to establish someone's ownership. "But we do have one of those extra-wide utility doors leading into the holding area from the street in the back."
"You think this crate will fit through it?"
"I don't know. Is it wider than 48 inches?
"With my luck, probably."
He gestured for one of the Mormon twins to check the width of the crate and returned to us.
"You got somebody at the jail 24/7?
"Not generally."
"Well, you're going to need one, or I'll have to assign one of mine. I guess I'm going to need more agents anyway."
He glanced around at all the crates and started asking questions that he already knew the answers to.
"Where is the field office in Wyoming?"
"Colorado." He grinned.
"And who is in charge there?"
I played along.
"That would be you."
One of the field agents called out,
47. He pulled his cell from his pocket and began dialing. I'll get another half dozen guys up here by tomorrow. Rust never sleeps, and neither do we. He was distracted by a voice on the phone. Kim, I need bodies. He glanced at me. Know where I can get a forklift? Jay over at UPS might do a freelance, but we aren't going to get him until tomorrow morning. Anybody else? That I would trust with a crate containing the head of a fossil worth over $8 million? He nodded. Call Jay in the morning, please. He finished his requisition for another half dozen agents and then turned back to me. Somebody's going to have to guard the head till then. I gestured toward Vic. We're already babysitting the ADA.
The what?
Acting deputy attorney. Oh, right, him. He thought about it as he glanced over his shoulder at the man who was writing in his own black leather notebook, the foot bobbing again. Skip Trost, ADA. Sounds like a character on that shitty television show. What's it called? Steadfast Resolution. That's it. He sighed deeply. He really thinks he needs a bodyguard? He fears for his life. Or so he tells me. McGroder spared a glance at my undersheriff, who was giving the finger to Jennifer and the recorder. I hope you gave him already.
I did.
She can guard my body any time. He tilted his head. All right, I'll make you a deal. We're staying at the same hotel as Trost, the Virginian. I'll just have one of my Utah guys stand outside his door, knock every hour on the hour, and ask him if he's heard God's good news. I smiled, pulled a hand from the pocket of my jacket, and stuck it out to him. Vic will be relieved, and the ADA will be safer. We shook hands. Deal. I handed the crust of my previous piece of pizza to Dog, who, awaiting his due, stood dutifully beside the crate. Thanks for getting dinner and the beer. Vic plucked an anchovy off her piece and deposited it back in the box.
Fish on a pizza. I will never get used to that.
She bit in with her elongated canine tooth and chewed, smiling and watching me.
It seemed like you were having a long day.
What, your uncle never put anchovies on his pizzas back in Philadelphia?
I was working at his pizzeria on weekends when I was a teenager, and a guy ordered up a pie with anchovies, and when he picked it up, he opened the box and complained that there weren't enough. She looked up at me. Alphonse just looked at the guy and said, "Most people don't like anchovies, asshole."
That's an interesting take you guys in Philly have on customer service.
Fuck 'em if they can't take a joke. She glanced around. So, you're sleeping in the dinosaur graveyard tonight? I sipped my beer and took another slice from the open box that rested on Jen's crated skull.
Yep.
Seems fitting. You're the biggest dinosaur I know. She waited a while before asking the question I knew was still on her mind. Okay. So what about that frozen moment you had the other morning? I ate more pizza and looked at the box to avoid her eyes, but when I looked back up, she was still watching me.
What?
There was one of those visions, or whatever you want to call them, with the old Cheyenne, right?
I reluctantly agreed. Kind of.
She finished hers and tossed the crust across the crate to Dog, who hit it like a great white shark hits seals off the coast of South Africa. So, give.
I closed the top of the last piece, rested an elbow on the crate, and thought about what had happened that night and a couple of times before. I saw Virgil again.
She didn't say anything but just watched me. When I was in the lodge over in South Dakota in the snowstorm a few months ago, and he wasn't alone. Who was with him?
I thought about the woman, who was Grace Coolidge, of all people, and the mystery man with the stars in his eyes. You're not going to believe me if I tell you.
I don't believe in your make-believe friend Virgil, so why should I buy any of the old Cheyenne friends he had tagging along from the camp of the dead?
That's the third time I've seen him.
She held up two fingers and licked them, then wiped them off on a paper napkin. Twice. The first time you met him, he was alive. Now, two times dead.
I'm worried that I might be losing it a little bit each time.
What do you mean?
I said the next words very carefully. That I'm losing my mind. She laughed, but then noticed I wasn't joining her. She tilted her head sideways and leaned in, searching my eyes.
You're serious?
I've never had anything happen to me like I have in the last few years. Seeing things, hearing things, people that aren't there. I'm not exactly given to this stuff, you know.
Shit, you are serious.
I am.
I reopened the box, tore up the slice, and fed the pizza to Dog, my appetite having totally retreated.
Normally, I'd just forget it. Mark it off as some kind of hallucination or something. But every time Virgil or whoever or whatever it is has prophesied something, it's come true.
She stretched a hand across the crate and rested it on my arm as we both stood there. Look, maybe you need to talk to somebody.
I thought that was what I was doing.
She paused for a long time before continuing. I mean, somebody who knows something about this stuff. I'm no expert on the subject, but it's always when you're by yourself. Have you ever thought that it might just be you? Maybe your subconscious is trying to tell you something, huh?
No. It's dissociative. Things I choose not to think about.
Well, there's your answer right there.
She shook my arm, anxious that I not get too serious, and then let go and sipped her beer.
Walt, as near as I can tell, you think too damn much.
Uh-huh.
She set the empty can on the crate. What did Virgil say?
It wasn't just Virgil. This time it was also a man in the snow.
Okay.
I was following someone in this dream, and when I got closer, I could see it was a buffalo. But when it turned, it changed shape into a man.